fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Make it four straight losses for the Blue Jays.
Strike two pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. The game is over. Baltimore sweeps the series. They win this one 6-1.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
8:02, good morning, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Andrew Walker, he's Greg Brady. Jays get snot bubbled in Baltimore in this series. 6-1 was the final last night. I have an announcement to make.
I don't want to hear your announcements.
No, I have an announcement.
It's like morning announcements in school. I just tuned
out. You're going to like this. You've been waiting for 6 months for me to do this.
Don't. No, it's no, over. No. Don't do this.
It's over. Unless they win 11 in a row.
Unless they 88 wins, still get them in.
Unless they can sweep the Yankees.
I did come back a second time to giving. I remember one Friday you were gone. You were in. It might have been the last Thursday or Friday. You were in Mother Russia, and I said, I will not give wild card standing updates anymore in the crux.
But then they suckered
you
back in.
In the meat sandwich part of the show.
Right.
And then they, yeah.
But you're like every other lousy baseball fan in the city. You don't understand.
Frustrated and hungry.
There's ups and there's downs, and it's the sum of all the... And there we were in September, and there was a real mathematical possibility when they had... This was the moment for me. I want to know what your moment was. When they had a lead in extra innings against the Boston Red Sox, when John Mayberry Jr.
scored
from second on a sack fly because Alan Craig didn't know how many GD outs there were, and they went up by 2 runs in the 10th, I thought they were making playoffs. I did. I really did. And then they lost that game, and then the next game.
And that was
the oof to me.
And it actually said on the ticket that was John Gibbons use a rookie pitcher for a third of an inning night. You got your money back if a rookie pitcher pitched more than a third of an inning.
Jansen on the hill up.
Yeah, who'd been great lately? No, he hadn't. How confident were you with Casey Jansen on the road at Fenway Park in the 10th inning?
What? In the 10th inning, up 2 runs? Anyway, was it the same moment?
It was the no. Well, they lost the next night. They win the next night, and you don't have this. Look, it wasn't an 18-wheeler, but let's be perfectly honest. It was something, right? After they lose the first two games, it was small potatoes that they... You knew they were going to sweep the Cubs, right?
Yep.
And if they had swept the Rays, then the last two losses don't mean quite as much. But look, I said it earlier, and in the Jays' defense, there's not a lot to do. I want some serious changes. I don't think any... I'm waiting for somebody publicly... and it doesn't even have to be in this company corporation to want as many changes as I want. And I'm not a fire this guy, do that, change everything, trade Bautista. I'm not that guy. I really am not. The Raptors, I said, don't blow it up. Don't trade DeMar DeRozan. Don't fire Dwayne Casey. For a change, I was right.
Maybe they should keep Colby Rasmus, your favorite
no,
player
I don't,
that
I don't
was
want...
the key to the playoff race.
Give John Mayberry more than 4 at-bats in 5 weeks. Anyway, yes, it is indeed sort of play out the string time tonight, Jays and Yankees. And I know you care about them finishing second ahead of the dreaded Yankees, but the Yankees don't care.
I don't like the Yankees.
Yankees fans don't give a rip, so I don't think we should either.
4-game set at Yankee Stadium tonight. It's Ari Dickey, who's actually been pretty good. ERA down to 3.86. Ari Dickey against Shane Green tonight. This one is on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, as always. Also, Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet 360 tonight. Coverage begins at 7. So we woke up this morning to an article in the Toronto Star from Dave Festchick. Now, here is the Coles notes of it. Steve Spott, brand new Leafs assistant coach, has not coached a game yet, speaking at a coach's clinic, a minor hockey coach's clinic, regaling some stories, we would assume in a jovial, laughing manner about Phil Kessel. And the quote was, well, Phil Kessel hates coaches. He hates Randy. He hates me, and he doesn't even know me. Talking about how he has bristled already at his breakout idea. And, you know, you go on down the list. Something of note to be serious? Or is this completely misconstrued by Mr. Festchick? We had Nick Kyprios on the show earlier this morning. This is what he had to say.
We can say a lot of things about Phil, but he's never come across in his career so far that he's a screw you, I'll do what I want kind of guy. I don't think there's any rift between Steve Spott, Phil Kessel and the coaching staff, okay? And when you get deeper into this article, I found it very TMZ off of these minor coaches. I got the biggest kick out of hearing that they don't want their names in this article out of fear for the Toronto Maple Leafs and how much sway they have in this city. Like Carlton the Bear is going to show up at their minor Adam practice
with a hammer
and take their whistle away. Right? Because they're so powerful that we're going to hide now behind our comments on what Steve Spott said at a coaching clinic.
I would tend to agree. That is Nick Kyprios. He was on Brady and Walker earlier this morning.
416-870-0590, star 590 is our phone number. I want to get to the crux of Phil Kessel, and I want to talk about him. We're about 5 years, maybe close to the day of his acquisition from the Boston Bruins. It's a half decade. You've seen him score 30, 32, 37, 20 in the short season. He had a great start to the short season. And 37 and 43 for an 80-point year last year. He used to be one of the more polarizing players here. Is he still? Or do you just say, we get what we get from Phil Kessel? He may never score 45 goals. He may not touch 50 goals. Some of it you will attribute to who he plays with. I don't want to get into that today or you know, whether he's playing enough minutes, not enough minutes, whatever. 416-870-0590, star 590. Do you just look at Kessel and say, he's our best player? He's our leading scorer. We get what we get. It's like the kid line. You get what you get and don't get upset. 416-870-0590, star 590. Now, Boston wanted him gone for more than just financial reasons. They didn't think he fit. That I believe that from too many people to have heard that.
But they also didn't think Tyler Seguin fit, and Tyler Seguin's a friggin' superstar.
They should regret that, too. Two years into the Toronto thing, I don't know if you remember it was around the time of the Super Bowl in January of 2011, and Kessel, after a practice, said, I don't know, maybe it's not working out here. It's just, try something different. And everyone's like, oh, my God, what's this all about? And then there's this big hubbub. Is Phil Kessel happy? Does he want to stay here? What's going on? And the next day he's like, you guys, I was just talking about the lines and the line combinations. And even last year, I've never been a guy I think it was idiotic for the print media to, hey, where's Phil Kessel? He's got to talk every day. He's got to talk every day. We're going to get upset. Got a playoff series coming up. I've often defended his right to be who he is. I don't care if he comes on our show or any other show. What will it do for him? What will it do for us? Probably very little. He is who he is. But I'm curious if every Leaf fan does feel that way, or they look at these comments. Steve Spott's quoted in a major newspaper as saying Phil Kessel is 15 pounds overweight. I'm not saying he is, and I'm not saying he isn't.
God, context, though. He's speaking at a minor hockey coaches conference.
Your weight, Andrew.
But he's not an... Steve Spott's not an idiot.
I'm not saying that.
He's not taking that opportunity before he coaches his first game to go speak to some whistleblowing Yahoo, group of coaches and blow up his players.
But Dallas Aikens got in front of microphones 2 years ago and said a Toronto Marlie and Nazem Kadri didn't eat enough lettuce and kale over the summer.
So
and
he got, what?
I'm telling you, in this, people get blown up for lesser stuff. When you say a guy is 15 pounds overweight, 30 pounds overweight, and he's clinically obese. His BMI's all off the charts.
Yeah, but he probably is. But we're over this. You just asked the question.
I'm over it.
You just asked the question. Here we are in year five and year six. Listen, this is a crazy fan base. And do we overreact? Yeah, people overreact. And there's no media spotlight like the Toronto spotlight. Throw Montreal into that category, maybe. But out of all the athletes in this city, and if there's one guy that it's, hey, he is who he is and we know what he is, I think we're at that point with Phil Kessel.
Aren't there two?
Dion Phaneuf is more polarizing than Phil Kessel.
Big time.
Nazem Kadri and Tyler Bozak are more polarizing than Phil Kessel. Phil Kessel might not score 45, but he's not scoring 25. The guy's a 30-goal, 80-point guy in his sleep, and everybody knows it. I didn't like this article because it basically calls Phil Kessel a coach killer for why? Why? Because he didn't like a breakout play that they're trying out even before camp begins.
And that's overblown. But the quotes are the quotes. If Steve Spott has every right today to say, I've been misquoted. I've been mischaracterized.
I just emceed my buddy's wedding in Regina and called him an a-hole on the mic. I'm not being quoted at that. I was blowing up different people. People say things in the public speaking.
Dave Festuck isn't going to write about your buddy's wedding. He is going to write about an $8 million right wing if he's described as 15 pounds overweight.
Is he writing about Phil Kessel's wedding if Randy Carlyle speaks at it?
That's a great question. Anthony in Toronto, that we will not pursue. Anthony, you're on Sportsnet 590, the
hey,
fan. I'm Brady Walker.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I didn't like the Kessel trade from the day it was made, and that's before we realized we lost Seguin, Hamilton, and people forget we gave up a second round. We gave up Stralman to get a second round pick. Do you think the Leafs are going to be better off with Kessel instead of Seguin, Hamilton, and Stralman? No way. And the thing that drives me nuts about Kessel, he has elite talent, but he's indifferent. He's the only player I know who has baby fat. It's unbelievable. You watch him play; he's not hard on the wing. If he ever loses a step, he's going to be useless.
Does Patrick Kane body check anybody? Is Patrick Kane not physical enough for your liking? I'm asking.
Patrick Kane is a warrior. When the times are tough, he shows up. Kessel is just indifferent. He's never going to lead a team. Watch him along the wing. He'll bail before he gets that.
My God, I watch him.
Do we have to put up with a year of this conversation? Do we really? Are we still at that point with Phil Kessel
that he doesn't care?
Is our radio show so desperate that we're going to be talking about Phil Kessel's baby fat or if he cares? Have we not realized what he is by now? Honestly, I agree with you. Are we ripping Patrick Kane? What's going on? What's happening here?
I see things.
What's happening?
Phil Kessel does things absolutely almost no other NHLer can do. Well, I want to save worst tweet for after Damian Cox. We're not going to do it here. We're going to do it after. So I want to get one more. I don't want it to end with a bad taste in your mouth.
What's happening?
Dave and Barry are on Sportsnet 590, the fan. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm still laughing about Walker's comment about his buddy's wedding and calling him an a-hole. That's amazing.
Walker calls everybody an a-hole. You just got to get used to it. I know. And then he'll block him.
Hey, you shut up.
Yeah, see?
No,
there we go.
What do you got?
Values his listeners.
Everybody, if I was an outside non-Leaf fan, I'm a Leaf fan true and blue. Listen, this guy's a bona fide superstar. He's going to score 30 to 40 goals a year. His breakout speed is second to none. Everybody's got to shut their yap in Toronto, realize who he is as an individual. I don't care if he tells me what he has for breakfast. Put the puck in the net, and that's all I care about.
Some of these wingers who are in the Hall of Fame must look and say, boy, they wouldn't have liked me very much in Toronto. Luke Robitaille. Yeah, guys, I know he got his 50 and 55, but he can't skate. Brendan Shanahan. Yeah, he doesn't fight enough for my liking. Like, the guys that are in the Hall of Fame.
Brett Hull just cruised in the high slot and pumped in 70 a year.
I moved here in 07. Matt Sundin, you know, I wish he gave a damn like Wendell and Dougie. I hate to use those guys, but Jiminy Christmas. No, stop comparing everybody to them.
You have bigger problems than Phil Kessel, Leaf fans. But, you know, articles like this, they just drum everybody up. Chance of showers this morning. Mix of sun and cloud. High of 15 degrees. Don't forget Dan Bylsma. Talks to us about what's next.
Got it. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Patrick Kane is a warrior. When the times are tough, he shows up. Kessel is just indifferent. He's never going to lead a team.
That's the guy also that Phil Kessel outscored at the Olympics. That's the guy Phil Kessel's outscored two of the last three seasons.
Only a whole calendar year coming up of Phil Kessel is indifferent Leafs callers. Let's just moratorium. Brady and Walker's moratorium. It's 8:23. Good morning. It is Brady and Walker.
The simple take from the listener would be Patrick Kane likes liquids better than solids, and Kessel likes solids better than liquids. You got to stop caring about this kind of stuff.
Patrick Kane's a warrior. Fred's got slacks as a winner.
But fine. We'll talk about Phil Kessel tonight on Sportsnet.
Patrick Kane is a warrior.
I know he is. Coming up tonight, Tampa and Atlanta is the NFL game from the Georgia Dome.
He shows up.
I know, at 7:30. But the NHL special, a numbers game, hits the airwaves on Sportsnet Ontario tonight at 7 o'clock. Part of that, why would fans want to watch? Well, we're going to talk advanced stats, how they're going to be utilized in broadcasts and stories, an interview with the Leafs assistant GM Kyle Dubas. Damian Cox from Sportsnet joins us right now. It's already started. You can tell. We have 20 more days of this before there's actual tangible results to to overreact to, Damian. That's great.
What do you mean? Aren't people already overreacting to the results of rookie camps? I mean, I've been reading and seeing all these, this guy looks good, this guy looks good. They're in rookie camps, but that's the nature of hockey in Canada, that's for sure.
That's indeed where it goes. All right, did you read your former colleague, and I'm sure still a friend, Dave Festchuk's column? Nick Kypreos had strong opinions on it. Did you get a feel for it or anything?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I think there's two elements to it. I think, you know, there's the story and how it was done, and there's the story of Phil Kessel. So, you know, I'm happy to talk about either. I think the story, I mean, I think it's unfortunate that three guys, I guess, have decided they're going to tell tales out of a hockey school where Steve Spott will never speak again because, yeah. And that's too bad because that means other hockey coaches won't get to hear what he has to say on hockey because obviously he can't talk. Why they would be afforded anonymity is beyond me. And seriously, I mean, I worked for the Toronto Star for 29 years. Why we give guys anonymity to take shots at other guys for no particular reason? Like, they fear reprisals? I mean, I just can't even begin to imagine why they'd have to be anonymous. So that's sort of the story the way it's done. I'm not impressed with that. I think the story of Phil Kessel is always the story of the Leafs. And, you know, my take on Phil Kessel is he's one of the most explosive offensive players in the National Hockey League. He's a average to below average defender, and whether he's the fittest guy in the league depends on which guys you're measuring. But, you know, he's a goal scorer. He's got to get better at all elements of his game and, you know, for that team to get better. That's sort of what I think of him. I mean, you know, and I think Steve Spott's been put in a bad spot, and that's too bad.
It's terrible, and maybe he will say today, Damian, because we all throw ourselves out there. We have good days, bad days, and maybe we say, boy, you know, you might say, boy, I didn't react the way I wanted to, or I'd say I've got a live microphone and I said a little too much today. Maybe Steve would feel that way about a couple of comments, but still. You're right about the anonymity thing. Not that it would happen here, but imagine I get called in by management. It's like, listen, this guy on Twitter, LeafFan69, thinks you were a little harsh on Randy Carlin. I'm going, you know me. You don't know who LeafFan69 is, where he lives, what he does, but I'm giving you my word against his. It's that kind of stuff. And yeah, if the coaches had put name to paper, maybe we can take it a little more legitimately. I agree with you.
Well, and particularly a former NHL player apparently is one of the coaches. Well, like, I don't think that in general, and this is a rule of journalism for me, I don't think we should give people anonymity for gutlessness because they're chicken and they don't want to put their name beside something they want to say. If they want to say something, if I think Andrew Walker is the worst croquet player in the world and a crappy guy as well, and somebody wants to quote me on it, well, and I'll know. I'll obviously say, if I want to be quoted, nope, don't quote me, and therefore don't use it. But I don't think there's any unless I fear reprisals from Andrew, which I don't think I do yet. Why? This is not Watergate.
And I'm not pitting media against fans here, but many people who I didn't understand this when I was 17 or 18 or even a university student, I go, hey, why doesn't that guy reveal his source? You had a story about a Leafs players taking a helicopter trip in New York City a few years ago. I remember right. Interviewing you about it. I mentioned on the air once there's apparently a rift between Dion Phaneuf and Luke Shen. Well, who told you, Bray? I'm not telling you who told me, but when it bears out, when these things bear out to be true, you either trust somebody in the media or you don't, one way or the other.
I think that's right. And Dave Festchuk, I'm sure he'll stand up for his own stories. And you know, it's not for me to say or what they should publish or what they shouldn't publish, at least not anymore. But I think that sources' anonymity should be used carefully. And I feel sometimes it's not used carefully enough. And to me, it should generally be used to provide information, not to give someone a platform to be quoted at length, taking shots at somebody to make them look bad. But that's just me. Maybe other people differ, and obviously Dave Festchuk differs.
Damian Cox, our guest on Brady and Walker. Obviously, the Ryan Johansson news, you can only imagine the buzz it's creating in Columbus. It's kind of hit the proverbial fan here. As Johansson packs up, he's back in Vancouver. We're at a stalemate. What side has mismanaged this thing, or have both?
I don't know if anybody's mismanaged it. I mean, it's the PK Subban thing playing out over again, or the, you know, and there are other players who are unsigned right now, young players. This is a tricky spot for the NHL. These bridge contracts, right, where the guys have some leverage, and that's the fact that they're good hockey players. You know, how much leverage do they have? Teams want to keep the prices down. They figure this is where we can use the CBA. You can use the CBA, but the player can also say, I'm not playing for that amount of money. And, you know, I don't know if it's anybody's fault in this regard, because Columbus is, you know, they're a budget team. They got to watch what they spend. They're losing money, hoping to make money in the near future. But they know what Ryan Johansson is. And if you're Ryan Johansson, you're not going to sign a six-year contract that's going to pay you $5 million a season. Why would you do that when you know the cap's going up and you know you're going to be a first-line center probably commanding $8, $9, $10 million a season in 2 or 3 years? So they'll come to a meeting of the minds, I'm sure, what the number will be. But I thought I was interested. I like John Davidson, but I thought when he went public with those numbers, you're really saying to the fans, this guy's greedy. And then how does that player bounce back from that? And how do you embrace him when he comes back? It gets tricky.
I watched, it's in my example. You might have one in Toronto. I watched Sergei Fedorov after the holdout he had the year after they won the Cup get booed mercilessly for 2 months afterwards. And 4 months later, he's holding another Stanley Cup. You nailed it. If Ryan Johansson scores one goal in the first 9 games, what's that do to a 20-year-old kid? And that's a rabid fan base. People can joke about it, but they're in. Yeah. They're in deep, and he's their bread and butter. He's going to make everything about their offense turn around. The show tonight, let's talk about it, NHL special, a numbers game. It's a show that was unthinkable that it would be on 2 years ago, but we've had a real crest of usage of advanced stats. And though we've talked about this before, a lot of the debate's been fun. I think we all would like to meet in the middle. There's no, some of the stat guys have been really militant. Some of the old school or have been really dinosaur-esque about it. There's a great middle ground, and any information is good information. It depends how you utilize it.
Yeah, and I think the middle ground's where I'm headed for. I'm definitely slow to the whole analytics thing, and there's a lot of it I understand, and there's a lot of it I don't really understand or not sure how you can use it, what you can do with it. And I think that's the challenge for everybody, not just NHL teams. But NHL teams are using it, so therefore people like you and I and Andrew, we've got to be aware of what's going on. I think it's going to be fascinating for two things. A, how this starts to really become part of the conversation with people. And certainly on, you know, Sportsnet and Rogers hockey broadcast this year, we're going to try to introduce this in a much more meaningful way than we have before. But also, you know, what are players going to do with it? How's it going to affect arbitration? The other element here, guys, is we're really at the stone age here. I mean, Corsi and Fenwick, while they seem complicated, are going to look like cave drawings in 2 or 3 years as they bring in, you know, player tracking, putting on computer chips on the players' uniforms, or, you know, using cameras to track players and puck possession. And so I think, you know, while it's important to try to understand now, in 2 or 3 years, we're going to laugh at what we thought was analytics at this time, but this is where we are. And the best part about the show tonight is Ward Cornell shows up on the show, and you guys got to see that.
Oh, my
love, you will love that part of the show.
All right. We'll be watching 7 o'clock. Thanks for this, Damian.
Thanks, Damian.
See you guys.
Damian Cox joining us on Brady and Walker. You'll see lots of them 20 days from now, of course, opening night, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, Calgary.
8:33, Brady and Walker. Dan Bylsma is coming up at 8:42. 20 days until the drop of the puck on Rogers Sportsnet NHL Hockey. Our tour around the National Hockey League continues with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Brady and Walker's Two-A-Days, getting you set for the 2014-2015 season. What happened?
All right, this is what happened in Carolina. Yet another year out of the postseason in a lousy Eastern Conference. The proverbial fake 500 team, 36-35-11, was their record. At one point, they were a playoff threat, but much like the Leafs, they fade down the stretch. Cam Ward hurt. Alex Semin hurt. Eric Staal's okay. And Jordan Staal's no slouch either. Wait a minute. Yes, he is.
The offseason.
Not much happened in the offseason other than Kirk Muller out as head coach, Bill Peters in. And the biggest news, probably, that longtime GM Jim Rutherford moves on to Pittsburgh, and Ron Francis is the new guy in charge. Otherwise, no changes on the ice. This is going to be the same group getting a crack at playoffs.
What do we think?
All right, we both thought, I think anyway, that this club was destined for pretty good things when Jordan Staal came on to join brother Eric a few years ago. It didn't work out that way, and this is the same unit, Greg, going forward. Is this thing on the verge of being blown up, or are they finally going to figure it out with the young players like Skinner and Lindholm and Falk?
Well, I hate to play wait and see, but we'll know by January. There's enough there, and yeah, they've got a lot of value of players under 24. They like Riley Nash. You know, they've been able to do things with Skinner that a lot of people didn't expect when he was first drafted. I've got three teams that could leap into the playoffs that were out last year. Washington, New Jersey, or the Islanders, I should say. Washington, the Islanders, and Toronto. Carolina's not one of them. I think they're going to fall just short.
This is what I think is going to happen. They're not going to be good enough. Skinner's not going anywhere. Lindholm's not going anywhere. Falk's not going anywhere. Enough with the Riley Nash love. He's a fourth liner. But you're going to see
24 points.
You're going to see Cam Ward and Eric Staal leave. Right, they're going to blow this thing up from the top.
Got to get something for them. If you're Cam Ward's in the last year of his deal. He's got to be like Ryan Miller, and somebody's going to have to want him.
8:35, Brady and Walker. Dan Bylsma breaks his silence with us when we come back at 8:42.
And a listener shared a story of a very unpleasant end. Look, it's a very unpleasant ending, but it's an ending we've talked about before on the show that would be maybe the most unpleasant ending, except for your gorilla theory.
The way to kick the bucket. Yeah, there's no good way.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
8:43, good morning, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's Brady and Walker, Andrew Walker, Greg Brady. Thursday night NFL on Sportsnet tonight. Jays and Yankees as well on Sportsnet 1. Coming up, we will tell you the worst way to go when you leave this fine earth.
Yeah.
Especially at your own hand. Bad decision by a woman. We'll tell you what she did. And Dan Bylsma coming up in seconds, the former head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Don't forget tomorrow on the two-a-days. Getting a lot of great reaction. A lot of great reaction on Twitter at Fan590Walker and BradyFan590. What's everybody staring at, shaking their head for?
This tweet from a LeafFan23. You guys suck.
So he'll be...
Just keep it coming.
Expect him in a column tomorrow in the Star. No, listen, here's the thing. We're going to do the Chicago Blackhawks with Warrior Patrick Kane and the Columbus Blue Jackets, also from the Eastern Conference.
With Ryan Johansson.
With a president who likes to ask for... I wonder what the radio and TV guys wanted in their contract. Can we get that out for John Davidson also? All right, coming up.
I like John Davidson.
I like him too.
I'm on his side, by the way.
Yes, yeah, you're all for revealing public numbers. Great. Private contract negotiations should go public, according to you. I'm going to remember that. I'll remember it, Jerry. Joining us now, Stanley Cup winning head coach, a Jack Adams winner as well. He is Dan Bylsma. Dan, thanks very much for taking the time to do this. How have the last couple months been? We thought at a certain point we would still see you coaching the Pittsburgh Penguins. Do you have you've interviewed in Florida, interviewed in Vancouver. Do you have a better understanding of I guess, why you're where you are right now?
No, I think, our expectation in Pittsburgh is extremely high and, you know, we won a lot of hockey games in 5.5 years, but, we were expected to, and looking at winning another Stanley Cup, and that didn't happen. And, that expectation and that standard has been there for a couple years. And, we came up short again. This year and losing the second round and losing in game 7 to the Rangers. So it wasn't an unexpected really outcome after the results we got.
It's a difficult thing. When you go into a team that has guys like Crosby and Malkin and the expectations are, you got to go deep. You got to win. It's different. It's different for, say, Mike Johnson now in Pittsburgh with the first year head coach than it is for, I don't know, Dallas Eakins in Edmonton. Can you speak to that pressure that you feel year in, year out?
Yeah, I don't think it really equates to pressure or the word we use for pressure. The expectations are extremely high, and Billy, we welcome those and welcome as a team, it's tough to win the Stanley Cup. It's not something that's given out. It's not even something that's guaranteed for for any team going into to this season. It's the hardest trophy to win. It's the hardest championship to win. And you know, even you go back to the LA Kings year they won it the first time when they sneak in as the eighth seed and peel off, I think, 12 games or 10 games in a row. It just any team can win. Our expectation was there, but we didn't come up with that, and we didn't win it when we think we had a very good chance to win it in Pittsburgh.
It's an amazing thing. I don't know how introspective you get about your profession, but I mentioned that, like, we look in other sports, you follow other sports, and Bill Belichick, can't coach in Cleveland. He's on thin ice in New England. Then Tom Brady starts winning football games, and Scotty Bowman, right, could win in Buffalo. Amazing what happens when you get to Pittsburgh and Detroit. I mean, it's what you signed up for. You know what it's about, but it's just that incredible fine line. Joe Torre was fired twice before. He's the Yankees manager. Now he's in the Hall of Fame just for managing. It's incredible.
It is incredible when you look at it that way. And I wouldn't try to make sense of it. Sometimes we do before and after about those situations. But I think there are certain circumstances. We look around our league even, and you look at the amazing job Claude Julien's done in Boston and having won a championship, and he was and has been, and at least if you listen to some people, I've been on thin ice at times, and he's done an amazing job there. So it does appear and can be a little bit fickle, but I think you know that getting into the deal and the situation, and I don't turn or shy away from any of that.
Dan Bylsma, guest on Brady and Walker. So in the cool light of day, with reflection, with your family, you had time to let this marinate and let this list breathe a little bit, and other teams ended up changing coaches without naming names. Was there an opportunity that you even, remotely considered getting back in the game this fall, or did you look at it and say, I want it to be exactly what I want, where I want, when I want, and I'm going to wait this out a little bit?
Well, I think I had that opportunity and am in that situation where, no, I'm certainly looking for an opportunity and definitely want to get back in the saddle and be a coach again. But I think the opportunities that I did have weren't right for me, weren't right for my family. So now I'm kind of, I've got a couple homework things to do as the season starts, and I'll be preparing and getting better at what I do in the meantime. Looking for that next opportunity made down the road.
Do you feel you're in a hurry? You know how it goes. You don't wish ill will on guys in your profession, but, a month into the season, there's generally at least a few openings. Are you ready to jump at something if it comes?
I think, I'm not in a hurry. I'm not checking off teams and lists and what have you now right now, but I'm definitely will be ready and am going to be ready when the opportunity comes, and if it comes, and that may be, that may be a whole year from now. I don't know what that's going to be.
So you coached Sidney Crosby for in half a decade. When you look back on your time with him, Dan, what's most misunderstood about him? There's many people that speculate, and some have better access than others about what he is with his teammates, what he is as a leader, vocal, leads by example. What do you look at? You hear something, you go, well, that's just not true about Sidney Crosby.
Well, he's I think we all, there's lots of talk about leadership and different aspects of it. There's no question about the leadership of Sidney Crosby and what he brings every day to his team and to his teammates. There's the hardest working guy, always working and looking to get better, and doing that in the context of his team, and he's brought that every day that I was a part of coaching him and coaching the Pittsburgh Penguins, and some of the side talk, it's just what it is. It's side talk. He was a great leader, is a great leader to his teammates and to his team, and it's shown every day.
Before you go, and we appreciate the time, this must be so unique for you because you were able to dive right into coaching. That means that when the playing career ended, you were focused, you were driven, and other people believed in you. This must be so unique. I mean, this is Well, the first time in your life since you've been in hockey that you sit and like we said, it may not last terribly long. We think you're going to be a pretty hot commodity. How does it feel sort of not having a rink to go to? There must be some element of, yeah, like you said, you can get more stuff done, plain and simple. Spend more time with your family.
Yeah, a little bit of that. I think, you know, the summertime was pretty normal around the Viles, my house, as September approached, and now we're getting, you know, getting real close to see training camp start to open, and it's going to be a little bit odd. Once the season starts, I'm gonna kind of be in my own element. I'm gonna have some things I'm gonna be watching about the games, and you know, looking at some of the numbers, the statistics, and analytics about the game as the season gets going. Almost in my own little coaching world, and getting prepared for what opportunity does come my way when it does.
You might figure out who the good teams are before we do. So will you call us 10 games in and tell us? That helps our job also. That's really... We want to sound a little bit smarter. We can always use the help.
With the Stanley Cup Finals, I commented before I went on the air, I finally now can be a smart hockey person.
Yeah, it takes time. It takes a little bit of time. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. Again, a lot of support in our quarter, and we are excited to see you behind the bench again. But also, it's life is life, and we're excited you got this time right now. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you, guys.
It's Dan Biles, but he won't be out of work long for sure, joining us on Brady Walker. If you missed the whole thing, you can catch it on the podcast, sportsnet590.ca. Jeff Blair is coming up. Mike Woolner out of the gates at 9.
So this is
funny. Terrible.
Which one? Is it a combination of the two?
It's tragic. No, it's funny.
What's been our... we've often debated, weirdly, on really slow sports day, guys. Yeah, sometimes that happens. The worst way to go. The worst way to end our head to another world.
I always ask, would you rather be, like, eaten by a crocodile or a bear or a shark?
So we found a story from Bangkok. A 65-year-old Thai woman... Now, they believe she committed suicide. She leaped into a pond of crocodiles.
No, it's a terrible idea.
At a farm popular with tourists on Bangkok's outskirts. It's like a farm that's a half zoo. Sometimes you have that.
It's a bad way to go.
And you can feed the crocodiles, hundreds of adult crocodiles. The woman jumped from a resting point on the walkway.
I immediately regret this decision.
In the middle of the of the pond,
I'd still rather be eaten by crocodiles than killed by a gorilla,
any kind of animal. Because you're saying it's more about the gorilla's intentions, really. After he kills you,
the gorilla's going to rip off your arms, rape you, and then beat you to death with your own arms. No thanks.
Tomorrow on Brady and Walker, would a gorilla be more accepting of Steve Spott's breakout out of the neutral zone than the Leafs' best player? We'll see you tomorrow.